Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I'm excited about this morning's message because we're living in a generation that no longer honors the Lord. We live in a nation right now that Jesus talked about in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus said that in the last days, how many believe we're in the last days? Oh, yes, we are. Two things that are very notable, and we're going to touch on some things. I'm going to come back on another Sunday and preach on that. But what he said, that in the last days, it would be like Lot and Noah. Lot and Noah. And so, I believe we are seeing those days today. I walked into my bank just to do my banking. And there was a giant LCD monitor. And it was waving the rainbow flag. And then it had couples on there embracing. I'm just going to say this. It's not part of this message. I'm just going to say this. When a nation is about ready to collapse, you will see the most gross, wicked things before God has to judge it. And there's only one thing in a nation that he deals harshly. If you did a historical, just a research of all the nations that have risen up and then they collapse, what was the demise of their collapse? They were morally corrupted from within. And so how does God deal with that? He doesn't deal with philosophy. He doesn't deal with it with, oh, you know what? I'm just going to give them a little bit more time. I believe that they will turn to me. When the whole nation starts to fill the land with abominations, he deals with it with one way. He has to burn it away. And he will send Russia and China and all these other nations to do it. And they want to do it right now. They see someone in the office right now that's so weak. Like, this is our time. And so that's not the gist of this message, but this is going to be a prelude to it. Just pray that God will give me the right contents that I'm not preaching out of any kind of anger or ill will, but I can display through the Word of God what God said he would do right before he returns. Amen? And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you have your cell phones, please turn them off in the silent position. And so I've entitled this morning's message, "It is time to wake up, church." Hallelujah. It is time to wake up, church. I believe there are churches throughout our land that are sleeping at the wheel. And I believe there's churches that are on fire for God as well. Yes. And they know the time. Yes. They know what time and day it is. They believe God's word of the seasons that we're in. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 1 through 3. And then we're going to have the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. And it reads, "In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string. that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation, let me read that again. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, this is a call to the church now. Because we are the righteousness of Christ by faith. God has saved us. He has washed us. We're not self-righteous, but the righteousness of Christ is now applied to our life. And so now we are the representatives. We are the ambassadors. We are the one that speak on the Lord's behalf, truth, love, and grace, and mercy. Can I get amen? And that's what we're called to do. But this nation was built on the foundations of the apostles of Jesus Christ, him being the chief cornerstone. And these men that came together 400 years ago established this nation on that precept, on that foundation of the Word of God. And so my question is this, right up here. What is our foundation? What is it? If someone were to ask you right now on the street and say, hey, what's our foundation to this nation? You know how to answer him? It's not philosophy. It's not your opinion. We find it in the Word of God. Let's look at Ephesians right now. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, and it reads, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. You and I, God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are now the children of the Most High God. So now we have a new position. We are children of the Most High God. Can I get an amen? We are seated now in heavenly places. You have to understand that. Look at this. And it says right here in verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So if anyone asks you, what is the foundation that you are standing on? Point them to Ephesians chapter 2. Can I get amen? Look at verse 21. In whom the whole building being joined together grows into a what? Holy temple in the Lord. You and I, we are the temple of the Most High God. You see, when we repented, when God washed us in the blood, and then he filled us with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, we are now walking around as the temple of God. Can I get amen? In whom you also are built. Look at this. Together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. Your body is a dwelling place for God. Hallelujah. Are you catching this for a moment? And so God chose us before the foundation of the world to reside in us, that we would have a voice in the times and days that we live in. Can I get amen? God wants to use you in mighty ways. I hope you know that. He wants to use you to the fullest. He wants you to win souls at any cost. Hallelujah. And we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. Can I get amen? So let me ask this question right up here. Let's look at this. God's word is a stabilizer in our lives. I hope you know that. You see, my friends, within its pages, we find comfort, strength, guidance for every situation in life. But if we choose to live without the Word of God, the Bible, we won't have the assurance of God's promises to help us through hard times. And how many of you remember the hard times? We just went through a pandemic. My goodness. How many of you have precious loved ones that gone on to be with Jesus because of it? This is a no-joke situation we're in right now. In the past 7 years, from the blood moons of 2014, 2015, to this final Rosh Hashanah that's coming in September, it'll be 7 full years of the Shemitah cycle. And let me just say that the blood moons came to show us that the tribulation is coming now. This is a prelude. I truly believe the Antichrist is about ready to come out from the shadows. The system is ready. Everything's in place. The militant homosexuals are out now. And you can't say anything because they'll come back and say, why are you judging me? I'm telling you, my friends, we are living in the times that Jesus said we would see. And we are the generation that's going to see it. Can I get amen? And these are some of the most difficult times you and I have faced in our entire country. Listen, 35% of church members that were in church prior to the pandemic are no longer in church. They have chosen not to come back. Now, I don't know if they are in that group where Jesus said there would be an apostate, an apostasy. I don't know. I can't judge that. All I know is they're not here. Where did they go? And so we've lost our oneness, our stability, our strength, our care for one another. We see this in the nation. And now our nation is suffering from uncertainty, uneasiness, conflict, and distrust. If ever, saints of God, we needed to rely on the scriptures, it's today. Can I get amen? Such times should lead us to cry out to God. When's the last time you wept at the altar? Huh? When's the last time you fell on your face and said, oh God, help me, God. Help my family. Help my loved one, oh God. Listen, someone was crying for you. And then God allowed you to come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's people right now that are still lost. And where is your heart to cry out for them? Where's the heart? Where's the church? My question is, where's the church? Because we're the only ones that know how to pray. Can I get amen? My goodness. And so, how many remember King David? Let's look at this. King David was familiar with difficult situations, and through them all, he learned how to trust God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, when he was faced with Goliath, and there are some Goliaths in your life right now, giants. And for some of them, they're the kukui. They're the boogeyman. And you're frightened of that situation still. Oh, that's right. You see, when he faced Goliath, King David, his confidence was not in himself, but in the faithfulness of God. And when King Saul became jealous of David and tried on several occasions to kill him, David fled for his life, hiding out in the wilderness. For those of you who have gone on several times on Israel trips, Brother Tony and I, we've been there many times. And when you go down into the Dead Sea area, we always stop there. The hills that are way up, they're high hills. They're not mountains, but they're high hills, is in Gedi. And that's where King David fled from Saul. He fled there. Why? Because the king was jealous of the anointing of God that was upon his life. See, God had already removed his status of king from Saul because he was a rebellious king. He would reject God's ordinances, and he would always finding himself doing opposite of what God had told him. And so God said, I'm going to raise up another king. And it was King David. But look how he dealt. We have to always look back to look ahead. How did King David, as a lad, a little lad, who faced Israel's giant? Oh, they were all spooked out. The guy was, what, 9 feet tall. And he would taunt Israel. And nobody on Israel's side said, no, how about you? You go. No, you go. And little King David, who fought the bear, who fought the lion, who fought off to save his sheepfold, said, I'll go. Who is this one that defiles the nation of Israel? Wow. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go back in time. Don't you guys like to go back in time every now and then? Look at this. In 1 Samuel 17:40, it reads, then he took a staff in his hand, this is King David, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, and when he had his sling in his hand, look at this, and he drew near to the Philistine, this giant of a man. Look at this, verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. What does that mean? He goes, what up with this little kid? They're going to send this little guy? He was looking at him like a little morsel, a little treat that you give your little pet dog. I would probably give Chikaroo that little pet, that little biscuit. He would look at him like a little biscuit. Look at this. And he disdained him, for he was only a youth. He was ruddy, but a good-looking kid. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? You see, that boogeyman that's in your life, he looks like a giant. But this is where you need to rise up like King David. And you need to bind that devil that comes to you. You need to bind that enemy that will come to you, that's trying to steal your finances, that's trying to take away your health, that's trying to destroy your kids, that's trying to do all these things what the enemy has set out to do. But I'm here to let you know, if God be for you, who could be against you? Can I get an amen? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so you have to understand that God is with us. David knew that I'm not going there alone. He saw how scared the men were, and he was just a ruddy kid, little redhead guy. But look at this. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. You'll notice, people that are not saved, they got foul mouths. They can say, yeah, I go to church, yeah, man. But man, when you see them in private, bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And then Jesus Christ will come out. Wow. Look at this in verse 44. Look at this. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give you flesh to the birds of the air and beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Look at this. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. When's the last time you told the devil that soon and very soon, God is going to cast you into the lake of fire, hallelujah, with the false prophet. When he comes to buffet you, when he comes to lie to you, when he comes to whisper to you, when he tries to tempt you to do things in rebellion to God. This is where you have to stand up in faith and say, not so, devil. God has appointed me, anointed me, approved me. So do you have your AAA card? Huh? Can you honestly see? I got my AAA card. I've been anointed, appointed, and approved by God. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. That's right. And it's already written on your heart. It's not a plastic card. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hope. Look at that, because you have defiled my God. Look at this next verse, verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. When's the last time you said, God is living in my house? This is time to get rid of all the junk. This is the time to get rid of all the worldly stuff. The worldly music, that's right, the rated R movies that are violent, that show nothing but licentiousness, lasciviousness, and all manner of iniquity are in those movies now. Why? They're there for a purpose, to come against the child of God. Here's how the enemy works. If I could get them to sin, guess what? God will remove his blessing from them until they repent and come back. And God will restore you. Why? If you're a true child of God, he'll restore you. Because he loves us. He shed his blood for us. But it's time to get right or get left. Can I get amen? Now, it's not a political slogan. Right with God or get left behind. Jesus, help us. That's right. I woke up this morning and I was trembling with God. Oh, God, are you sure you want me to deliver this? You already went over this with me. Just go do what I called you to do. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Look at verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Hallelujah. This is what you have to proclaim. Hallelujah. Devil, you have no right in my home. You have no right in my life. Hallelujah. You and your dominions are out of my house. Can I get an amen? I'm going to allow worship and praise to fill this house now. Hallelujah. Goodness and Bible study and the word of God is going to be high and lifted up in my home. Can I get an amen? It's time to rise up in faith. It's time to be the light of the world. It's time now.